passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Second hour is live. We appreciate all of you being here. And we talked a little bit about NIL in the first hour with Ralph Russo. More on that coming up. Pete Nakos from On3 joining us. And the Collective Association begins conversations on revenue sharing model. This needs to be paid attention to. Is this the off-ramp? We'll talk to Pete beginning right now. Pete, thank you for joining us. I saw this earlier, and I know you've done a lot of reporting and writing on it. But good afternoon, first of all, and thank you for being here. And explain what this really means.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me, Paul. What it really means is so these seven NIL collectives spread across the country. There's some in the Big Ten, the SEC, and then USC as well, have formed this collective association. It was like formally announced earlier this month, and then today comes the announcement that they have now met with the NCAA and the SEC to talk about this revenue sharing model. And what they're pitching is this thought process where television revenue, no specific percentage put on that, would be given to the collective to disperse to athletes at their own will. And the thought process behind that is, an athlete would not need to be classified as an employee, which more and more athletes appear to not want to be for good reason. And the second thing, I guess, is it might be the cleanest form of revenue sharing, right? I know there's a lot of everybody seems to have their own opinion on revenue sharing, but this appears to maybe be the most straightforward one. And that's where we're at right now.
And yeah, obviously nobody wants this thing to get out of hand. Is this enough to satisfy everyone in the sector? Or because I know you mentioned a handful of schools there, including conferences, but yeah, assuming that all this comes to fruition, is it enough?
I mean, I think that's somewhat the million-dollar question right now. Paul, you know the SEC and NCAA well, but they're obviously going to want some concessions made. The collective folks that I talked to today said that they're willing to accept a uniform standard, with the understanding if they violated that, then the collective would lose its official title with the school, meaning then it could put the television revenue dollars at stake. I think the one big takeaway from today is that there are people out there thinking about trying to push forward college athletics that's not from within college athletics necessarily. And the NCAA and SEC seem almost encouraged that there's some models out there and there might be some middle ground to try to create a plan.
So help me with this, and I would say everyone else as well. You mentioned a handful of schools. Where does it go from here in terms of the bigger tent?
Those seven schools have been dubbed the founding members, but there are plans to expand. There's been a few schools tossed around that I've heard about, and I think expansion is coming to that association. And along with expansion would come the thought of, okay, if they added they already have Florida State, but if you had another ACC school, or if you had a Big 12 school, right? I mean, then those conversations are going on in college towns with more athletic directors and with more conferences. And I'm in Indianapolis here today for Big Ten Media Days, but at the same time, we have this NCAA stakeholders meeting. And what comes of that doesn't exactly seem like there's any policies to talk about just yet, but maybe all of this can come together. And Paul, you and I have talked about this before. I'm still not encouraged about where things are when it comes to D.C. and Capitol Hill.
Yeah, I mean, I heard Pete. I remember talking to you after D.C. and you know, the feeling was similar. And then I heard today that it wasn't that long ago. It was like an hour ago. I heard that they're talking about now Plan B. Now, I don't mean to be the school teacher here, but who in their right mind only comes up with Plan A when it equals the United States Congress?
yeah, no, exactly. And I think the Pope funneling thing for some people is we knew NIL was coming like more than 3 years ago now, right? Like I talked to Gene Smith, the Ohio State Athletic Director today, and he made clear that there are some frustrations, right? He was on that first working group that submitted an NIL plan, and the NCAA decided not to run with it. Like, it's been years in the making here, and it appears that the NCAA could be running out of time on Capitol Hill because of the upcoming presidential election. So, yeah, there's a lot of movement, Paul, but movement does not exactly equal results in the long run.
Pete, I mean, are these people kidding themselves, or are they trying to kid us? Because it's just, I mean, people in Washington actually say more than these people say. Am I right?
I think you might be on the right track. Yeah. It's a very interesting situation, and it seems like it just keeps. It was going down this path to begin with, and now we're here, and you know how the NCAA works. It's they could have five more meetings before an actual document is produced that could eventually lead to a new NCAA guidance on NIL.
And back to Charlie Baker. I mean, he starts his tenure, you know, he starts this D.C. Meeting off a couple of weeks ago by essentially blaming the NCAA for the problems. And I get it, he wasn't there, but he's there now. And other than flying around the country and making a lot of speeches and slapping fat cat senators on the back, what's he doing to solve this problem?
Well, he was here in Indianapolis for the two-day meetup with the NIL stakeholder groups, including some athletes who have yet to be named. So I guess that's encouraging. But, yeah, I mean, the honest truth is, yes, Charlie Baker is still doing everything possible to get this federal mandate done on the Hill. And the flurry of activity we've seen before this August recess is just proof of, obviously, the forces behind the scenes that are trying to get this done. You had Manchin-Tuberville bill, and then you had the Blumenthal-Booker bill, and then today was the latest one from the Massachusetts and Connecticut congressmen and women.
Pete, I'm going to go ahead and just offer an opinion that none of these bills are going anywhere. So, you know, the calendar will turn. We'll be in an election year in a couple of months. We already are. And what's the rhetoric? What's the sound? I know I'm asking you to speculate. You're a reporter, but what's the war chant going to be from college athletics then?
I think my personal opinion here is we are trending in a direction where the NCAA is going to need to try to enforce some set of NIL rules it has in place, and it is then going to need to show to Congress how they are limited and their ability to fully enforce their policy, right? Don't want to name schools, but I'm sure, I mean, the Jaden Rashada situation at Florida, I mean, for all we know, that could be where the NCAA strikes first. They obviously handed out what happened at Miami with the Kavanaugh twins and John Ruiz, but that was only a NIL-adjacent case that wasn't fully NIL. So I think we could see the NCAA in the next 6 to 12 months really try to enforce their policy, and then they could use that as proof to Congress that these bills need to be enacted.
And Pete, my guess is Congress is really not going to care. But that's just a personal opinion, and I don't mean to drag you into mine.
I'm just trying to give you the most positive outlook, but yes, I'm with
you. You did a great job. Pete, thank you. Pete Nekos from On3 covers the college business world, which is a big beat these days. We'll take a break. We began with Ralph Russo. We have a lot more to do, and we will invite you to call us right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Welcome back. We are continuing on, and Jay is up next. Good afternoon, Jay.
How's it going today, Paul?
It's going great. Thank you.
It's good to hear from some of the regular callers yesterday.
They were all out.
Yeah, congrats to Legend on his new job. That's pretty cool. I just wanted to respond to the AJ yesterday, the Auburn fan. He must be smoking some good stuff because they got a tough schedule this year.
Yeah, I don't know if it's. I wouldn't say that it was good stuff. That's pretty much the same script AJ has always been on. It doesn't change. It doesn't matter who the coach is.
Yeah, they'll be lucky if they win 6 games, Paul.
Yeah, they're not a favorite to be in Atlanta.
Yeah, I don't think so. And I want to respond to that, our quarterback issue. I really believe Monroe's going to be the one starting.
Okay.
And
I would say he will likely be the game one starter. I agree with you on that. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Mitch is in Texas. Mitch, good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Haven't called in a while. One of the sports writers out here in Texas, and I was able to get to SEC Media Days. In fact, I saw you working, and I left you alone because you were so busy running around and getting everything done and taking care of business. But I was also able to go to Big 12 Media Days, and I just got finished with American Athletic and Conference USA Media Days. I've been pretty busy, too.
Man, you don't miss any Media Days, do you, Mitch?
In addition to my Kilgore News Herald responsibilities, I'm also with a website. So
okay.
I think the only one I didn't get to go to, the Big Ten is today.
The Big Ten is going on right now in Indianapolis. And you're not hearing anything about it. It's interesting, but the ACC is going on as well.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. But I've been busy, so I just thought I would get maybe your overall impression. I know they had they shuttled us everywhere, you know, for the SEC.
Yeah,
one,
I'm
which
curious
I was
because,
for the
I,
shuttle.
You know, I didn't really see the – I mean, I'm curious how you viewed it for somebody that's from a different – part of the country.
Well, I'll be honest. I stayed at an Airbnb just because I waited too late.
Okay.
To get the media rate. I'll be honest. I waited too late. So I stayed at an Airbnb, which I was thankful for. The highlight of my entire week, and I'm just going to say this for the listeners that don't get to interact with these people. I got to meet Pat Forty, which has kind of been one of my idols for a long time. And most people, I guess, would like to meet the coaches, and the coaches are great. But I got to meet Pat Forty. I got to meet Teresa Walker of the AP.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And both those people are great. I've been reading their articles for years. I'll be honest, from my media days experience for the last few weeks, my two favorite people that I bumped into, the best three people that I've talked to were the Texas San Antonio quarterback, believe it or not, Frank Harris, was a great interview. Shane Beamer was fantastic, I thought, and got to talk to him briefly. And I don't know if you saw any of it, but Trent Dilfer yesterday at American Athletic Conference Media Day was...
What did Trent say?
he pretty much said that, of course, he's never coached, I guess, a game in college. So that he basically said that, you can check it out on YouTube, but he basically said that the only people I'm that matter are the people I have to answer to at my administration, and the pre-NIL rules don't matter. It's entertaining. You should check it out. Go back and watch it on YouTube.
I was with him in Birmingham a couple of months ago for an event, and got to know him, and really impressive. I thought the funniest thing I saw yesterday was the Charlotte coach. I don't know if you saw that.
He was smacking the podium. Yeah, he was 3 feet away from him. Yeah.
He was formerly with Jim Harbaugh, and this was his first media days, and I think he got 3 questions, and it looked like he got very upset that was it.
Yeah, he only got 3 questions, and he said they were picked 7th in the poll, and 3 questions, huh? That's it. Well, that's why we're picked 7th.
Coach, I got news for you. Nobody really cares, okay? But thank you for showing up.
Nobody did. But listen, hey, I just wanted to tell you that everybody that doesn't see Paul behind the scenes, he works so hard, and he works hard with his show. And I know you knew that already, but
I'm sorry we missed Roman Harper. Mitch, I do remember. I remember talking to you in the past and hearing from you. Probably the funniest thing that happened to me, I jumped off the set for a minute. We were during a break. And I ran outside and I came back, and some guy stopped me. I mean, and by the way, I've been there. You see somebody, you grab me and say, hey, do you have 15 minutes? You could do our podcast. And I really didn't want to be that guy. Say, I'm a little busy right now. I'm in the middle of the Feinbaum show. But it was, I almost said yes, just for fun. and I should have.
Well, listen, it was great to talk to you. And for the fans that if you ever doubt how hard Paul works, don't doubt it. I've seen it. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you very much, Mitch. I would doubt it myself. Let's continue. Charlie Ray is up next. Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul.
Thank you.
Bear with me for a minute here, if you will.
Okay.
Imagine sitting in Congress, and we're going to recognize a gentleman from Alabama for 3 minutes on the NIL. And then the very next gentleman, we're going to recognize the gentleman from California on aliens for 30 minutes. How in the world? But listen, the reason I called, Big Cat Weekend's coming up this weekend for Auburn, and I know that makes Alabama fans mad. And Freeze has always managed to get, one big Yahtzee a year since his Ole Miss days. And what do you think his chances are, guys leaving this weekend and maybe getting – 2 or 3 guys, like a snowball effect out of Big Cat Weekend?
Well, I remember many, many years ago when Big Cat Weekend started, and it had a great name, and it's a big deal. Without knowing exactly what is going on there, but knowing Hugh Freeze, I would say you're on the right track. I think he is going to lasso some big names, because I think that young players, they have different goals. Yeah, sure, they want to play Alabama, Georgia, the teams that are competing. But a lot of guys want to play for the next big team, and Auburn could be that under Hugh Freeze. So, yeah, I think they'll do very well.
I think so, too. And, a lot of these guys, I heard a caller a while ago say Auburn be lucky to win 6 this year. Hugh is always good for one big win, and he's always good for one loss that he should.
Yeah, well, that's –
What's that big win to you this year?
I mean, I'm gonna have to look at that schedule again. It's not going to be Alabama and Georgia. I mean, I know the history of those two games. I've covered Auburn for many, many years. But I think if you're looking for a win, is it at Arkansas? Is it? I think it's either one of those home games like the Ole Miss game. the road game against Arkansas. Beyond that, I don't see that many. I think you have to beat Vanderbilt, but I think you know an unexpected win could be on the road at Arkansas.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you. Primarily because that is a bizarre series, that Arkansas Auburn series. A lot of surprises there. Mitch is up next. You are on the air. Hey, Mitch.
Sir Paul.
How are you?
What have you been doing getting yourself in trouble? I'm laying up in the hospital, and I hear that you're an angry little man. And
yeah.
You're the mouth of the SEC. Who are you competing with to be the bad guy this
year? And by the way, this all comes from the SEC media days, not the ACC media days. I have sat out. I usually say something and get in trouble at the ACC media days every year, but I'm going to try to skip them. I feel badly for the ACC. I don't want to hurt their feelings any more than they've already been hurt.
Look, I'm just glad to be alive and able to stand up.
So, what's going on with you, Mitch?
I had had part of that surgery.
Okay.
That I told you I was going to have on my foot.
Right. So, did they take it?
No.
Okay.
No, we're rebuilding it.
Rebuilding it.
Yes.
Let me ask you a very elementary question. How do you rebuild a foot?
Screws and rerouting bones and having to be in bed for 5 weeks at a time.
Oh my goodness.
The outcome would be I would have eventually lost my foot because I have terrible Charcot. I don't know if you are familiar with that term, but it's when your bones, they want to navigate either right or left, and my ankle was trying to make me learn to walk on the side of my foot, basically. And it was going to do it if we didn't start the process. God gives the glory. Everything's okay, and in a month I'll do the next. It's a 3-part surgery, and so there you go. But I just thought it was funny. You're having fun with everybody, and they're taking it in seriousness.
Yeah, especially that coach who tweeted that. I mean, I thought he would have a better sense of humor, didn't you?
I thought y'all had kind of made up. And
you know, it's just one of those tempestuous deals that I don't know if we're ever going to be able to get over it, Mitch. Hey, Mitch, take care of yourself. We're thinking of you. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network. Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The
playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We're back. Quiet afternoon so far. Not a lot of sound and fury. Had Daryl earlier talking about the dogs, and Larry is up next.
What's up? What's up?
What's going on, Mom?
Larry, welcome back.
Woo! Hey, I got kidnapped by some aliens one time and made me drink a bunch of Bud Light. That's the only reason I'm like I am. They made me drink it. I didn't want
you,
to.
In all your years of law enforcement, did you ever have to deal with a call on aliens?
Yeah, I saw, I don't know, alien person, but I saw an object one night, and I was sitting there watching that thing, and I thought, that ain't can't be a plane. And it was way, you know, just a little white dot, and all of a sudden it kind of blazed, man, and went whoop, and just disappeared. And I sat down in my police car. No, I ain't calling that in. Hell no.
And Larry, were you drinking? Were you on duty?
Yeah, I just was shocked. I rode around for Paul Feinbaum. I was in shock because I know what I saw. I was in the military. I ain't stupid. I know what an airplane is, and I know what. I don't know what this was, but I ain't never seen nothing like it. It just become a big bright light, just a zoo. And I went, oh, my God. I mean, you know, I don't know anybody's ever witnessed something like it, but it just chilled, man, right up and down. You know, you just sit there and you just staring.
Now, Larry, can you honestly tell us at that moment in time you were not drunk?
Oh, no. I was working, man.
Now, Larry, I mean, I jokingly asked that, but I've known some officers to have a pop now and then.
No, never. And I swear on my life and everything that I'm worth, I've never.
So you never served the public while drunk?
No, sir. I swear to God.
Okay.
I swear to my mama.
How long after your shift ended did you have your first drink?
30 minutes. No, it wasn't long. But you know what? They say right now, listen, let me tell you what you can do, and the people out there need to listen. A lot of these policemen at work, and they'll go and they'll work day shift. Well, they'll go party all night, and they'll come in sometimes, you know, from drinking 3-4 in the morning. Well, hell, they'll go back on duty at 6:30, and they still probably running about a .20 or some crap, you know.
Really?
You see what I'm saying? So, yeah, if they would run policemen toxilizer test, because I was an operator, toxilizer operator, and you know, that stays in your system.
Well,
and only
Larry, what's the name of that test again?
Toxilizer test. And Toxilizer 5000 is the one I passed that down in Selma. I had to take tests for it. But, yeah, man, that thing's pretty cool.
I had a policeman pull me over one night and asked me to walk a straight line. And I mean, the worst thing to ever do with a policeman, this is a long time ago, is when you haven't been drinking to try to explain to an officer that you're sober. It's the worst thing in the world to do because you come off drunk.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, I when I was working late, and that's why I got along good with the public, man. At night, when I worked night shift, if somebody, I pulled them over and they wasn't just stoned, staggering and falling down drunk, you know, I would try to help them, you know, get home. But the problem you run into is when you pull them over and you run that tag,
yeah,
what you have, the problem you have then is if you let them go and they get in a wreck and kill
right,
somebody,
sure,
your ass has had it.
Yeah.
Your ass has had it. Because you'll be sued, the city will be sued. So sure. I'm trying to help. If I could get somebody
would
home,
you,
I would.
Larry, if you had pulled me over and I was swerving, would you have taken me home?
No, I couldn't do that because you might leave again. No, I'd just take all your money. I would just take all the money out of your pocket and slap you upside the head.
You probably would have.
Nah, man, come on.
Thank goodness you never pulled me over. Because I would have said, Larry, the nerve of you after what happened to Alabama last year.
Yeah, that's probably what I'd have been thinking. I'd throw your ass in the back of the car and done that screen test on your ass. Hey, you want to be a movie star? You want to be a movie star? Yeah, come up here a little closer. Bam!
That's funny. That, Larry, that is really funny, what you
talk. It is funny.
I mean, no police brutality there, Larry.
No, sir. Just want to know if they won't be a movie star.
Oh, yeah, that's all you. I mean, if you ever got dragged in, you said, I just asked a simple question.
Yeah. Oh, man, I love talking to you. You are a funny guy. All right, fine, bomb, roll down time. Hell, you, Dale, you dummy. Flapper lips. Roll tide.
Hard to believe this guy was a serious police officer. Hayden is up next in Memphis. Hello, Hayden.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Hey, I'm a long-time listener, second-time caller, but I just had a proposition for you.
Okay.
What record does your best friend, Lane Kiffin, have to get this year for you to join him in one of his hot yoga sessions in Oxford, Mississippi?
Oh, I'll do it. I'll do it if he loses all 12 games. That would.
We need to make this happen. Lane loves it. You got to join him. Come on now.
Yeah, I mean, I remember talking to him about that the last time we were in Oxford. I don't know. I've never done yoga, although I've been advised that I should. So explain hot yoga to the audience.
Well, see, I'm not a big hot yoga guy myself, but, you know, with Kiffin, he's in the best shape of his life. I think it's just a pretty, you know, easy way to get in there early mornings for him.
Okay.
Get a good sweat going and lose some weight. And I think if Ole Miss beats Bama this year, I think you should have to wear a full decked out Ole Miss football jersey when Kiffin does it with you.
Of course I will. I mean, I'll do anything to repair the damage created by Lane Kiffin last week in Nashville.
Yeah, you know, I think that's a friendly repair. Hot yoga, I think, is the perfect answer for it. And
I need to know more about hot yoga because I need to do something to get in better shape. And whatever I'm doing, it's just not close to hot yoga.
Oh, I think you're selling yourself short there, Paul. I think you're in great shape. I think, you know, I don't know much about it. Again, I don't go. But Kiffin, I think it's just an easy way to get in there and get a good sweat going.
Let me ask you a really stupid question. Where does the hot part of it come in? Is it what you wear or the heat or the temperature where you do it?
I believe it's the room you're in, Paul.
Okay.
Yeah, and so I think it's almost like a sauna almost. You're sweating so bad at 100 degrees in there or whatnot. But Kiffin enjoys it, and they actually did a yoga in the field, Vaught Hemingway, for students this past semester.
Okay. Well, I will.
Yeah,
that would be maybe that would be a funny bit. The next time I'm in town, we can take a camera in there, and this would be pretty funny, me trying to do yoga. But I'm willing to do it.
All right, cool. That'd be a great idea.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Lane and Paul doing hot yoga in Oxford. We'll take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We welcome you back here. It's been a pretty entertaining show so far. Rick is in Houston, and you are on the air. Hello, Rick.
Hey, Paul. Good afternoon, sir.
Thank you.
Hey, want to touch base with you on LSU versus Alabama, how you see the season goes. But before I do, a couple of things expired said recently. A few days back, he said, you know, could anybody tell him that there was a bigger joke than Lane Kiffin? I'm pretty sure the bigger joke is the salary that A&M's been paying Jimbo Fisher for the results they've gotten so far.
That'll
and yesterday he wanted to feed you. Brisket, green beans, and pinto beans. I think Expire's been hitting those pinto beans a little too hard because he's full of hot air. But hey. So, LSU versus Florida State, and then second game of the season for Alabama, Alabama against Texas. How do you see those two games going?
Rick, I feel better about the LSU-Florida State game and giving you a prediction than I do the Alabama game for the obvious reason. I don't know who Alabama's quarterback is going to be for that game.
Okay.
I like LSU to beat Florida State. I mean, I feel like LSU has all the momentum in the world right now.
I think so too, Paul, and I think that, you know, considering the game last year, and I don't really see Camping World Stadium as a home field advantage for Florida State.
No.
But I think LSU is a more improved team. I think Florida State's kind of static. I mean, I'm not saying they're not a good team, and they've got, you know, Jordan Travis is really good, and the Verse kid's really good too.
Well, they have a really good team, but I just, again, picking a game like that is extremely difficult. But I'm basing it on what I've heard, what I know, what I've seen, and to me, it's not that difficult a choice.
Well. My last question for you, Paul, is, you know, and we really didn't talk about how you see Alabama and Texas, but what do you think the chances are that come November 4th that LSU and Alabama show up unbeaten against each other?
I think it's certainly realistic. I don't see anybody. I mean, I think Texas right now is probably the biggest threat for Alabama. And LSU, as I think of their schedule, I mean, Florida State will probably be the highest ranked team they play until Alabama. There's one or two other games that are a little tricky. I think, well, a couple of games that are a little tricky. How about it? I think Mississippi State, Ole Miss on the road are, I mean, even Missouri are danger zones. But I think Alabama has a better chance of getting there undefeated than LSU.
Well, they do. You know, I know coming from me, I don't have a lot of faith in the Aggies, but they do have that October 7th meeting at Kyle Field with A&M.
You're right. I will add that to my list. I don't know why I forgot that, but I did. I think just like last year, the two Texas games are going to be tongue teasers for Alabama. But I'm pretty high on Alabama. I know that some people are not. I'm acutely aware of the conundrum at quarterback, but I do believe that will be rectified by the Texas game, certainly by the A&M game. Don is in Birmingham. Hey, Don.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for taking my call. You were talking earlier, a gentleman, about running a PEI test on drunks and stuff. Well, I was a cop for a while, and was having a big party, and I told him I'd be out of pocket that night and wouldn't be able to run any tests. Well, Lord mercy, about midnight, 1 o'clock, they called me home, and I was still half a mile from the station. They said, the other guy called in sick, and we got to test this guy. I said, I can't drive. I've been drinking. They said, we'll come pick you up. So they picked me up and take me down to the station, and I'm sitting there with the guy, and what the machine does, it measures the alcohol in these little alveoli sacs in your lungs and everything, and they tend to gather at the bottom. So to get a good reading, you got to have a good deep breath. Well, we went through this about 6 times. He made all kind of faces like he was blowing hard and all that. But we have a rod, and if the rod doesn't rise to a certain level, then it's not a good reading. So after about 6 tries, I said, I'll tell you what, baby, I'm tired of fooling you. I'm just going to blow it up myself. I'll blow it up for you. And so I put a new tube in, blew it up, and I was 0.14. And he looked at me and said, oh, hell no. He said, I ain't that drunk. Give me that test again. Sure enough, he was a 0.12. And so
that is funny.
Yeah, it was. He tried it, and he told the judge, he said, Your Honor, he was drunker than me. And the judge just looked at him and said, did you take the test? He said, yes. He said, did you read a 0.12? He said, yes, sir, I did. He said, well, you're guilty.
That is great. Hey, Don, thank you so much. I really appreciate the trip down memory lane. We're up against a break. We have a lot more to do here in the final 2 hours.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.